Weekend Mornings with Glenn Van Zutphen. Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Neil, 30th of November, another month gone.
I know.
Pushing to the year 2020. Are you kidding me?
I say this, look, you know this. The older you get, the faster it goes.
Yeah, seriously.
And I say to my wife, it'll be Christmas in a minute. It'll be Christmas. She says, stop saying that. It's February. But it's true.
It'll be retirement in a minute.
It's true. I've discussed this with Jason on the show. Regular listeners will know this. Psychologists have done research on this. They've done, you know, all kinds of. There is an element of truth. You know what it is? The older you get, the less fresh memories you have because there's more repetition in your life.
Oh, is that what it is?
And they say that the brain, as it gets older, tends to only store new stuff, which is why you can remember childhood events, but you can't remember what you had for lunch yesterday because you've had lunch a million times. So as you get older, it's depressing. You have fewer and fewer original memories and therefore less to store, and therefore time seems to go
faster.
Does
that mean you have fewer and fewer original books coming out?
You see, I don't know where that came from. I'm a nice guy.
Now that your three-book deal has gone through?
Yes.
It just could be regurgitated from the first three. I don't know. They'd never notice, right?
Hey, if it's good enough for Lee Child and Jack Reacher, it's good enough for me.
Change the names, change the location. They'll never know the difference.
There's only so many ways you can kill someone.
Well, hey, we talked about, you know, it was big weekend, lots going on with the big events here. Last night, of course, we had the SPH Radio party at Walla Walla, and it was fun walking in because, you know, nobody knows me, nor should they, but I happened to be walking through the bar with the Flying Dutchman, and there's lots of other people there, and they're all kind of pointing, looking at him like, oh, that's the Flying Dutchman, and it's just kind of fun. And of course, you know, all the other radio talents were there from SPH, from all the five networks, and they did drinks, and had a magician, and, you know, whatever, little contest and stuff.
That was that's what you was really booked for.
That was, yeah, pull a rabbit out of a hat.
That's it. Which we do every Saturday morning on this show.
And then PSA had their annual media party last night, which is, it's really the highlight for the shipping industry, the shipping media. It's about 50 people, 40 or 50 people on the 40th floor of the PSA building overlooking the port. And they do games and karaoke and a beautiful four-course dinner. And, you know, it's just Carolyn Lim and her international communication team, it just does an amazing job of that. And that was last night. And that was a little bit bittersweet because I've been, I think, the last 10 of them for the last 10 years. But they're moving, PSA is moving out of that building in Pasir Panjang into their new building down in near, closer into Jurong. And so this is the last one at that beautiful 40th floor view.
Right.
But yeah, folks come in from London, they come in from Thailand, they come in from all over for this.
So you've been going for almost 10 years. Is that from your CNBC days?
Yeah, from my CNBC days. Right. Actually, more than that. No,
CNN?
Off and on for nearly, I think, 12 or 15 years.
Right.
I've only missed one or two.
Interesting, though, because I didn't realize, I did realize, but the move of the shipping industry away from its current, you know, Tanjung Pagar area, Keppel Harbour, is really picking up pace now as they move it out to Tuas and Jurong.
It's amazing because when you stand up on the balcony of this 40th floor of the PSA building, you know, just at Alexander Road and Pasir Panjang, not too many years ago, there was a lot of open water.
That's right.
And now it's docks everywhere from basically, you know, sort of Alexander Road west. It is the new port and the new terminal there. They have wasted no time in making that really into a huge, you know, continuing with the international shipping
hub. You can see huge tracts of land now where container, what used to be, as you'd say, container drop-off points have been shifted aside. And Pulau Brani, which is, of course, the island there, is going to be connected to Sentosa, and a part of it will be devoted to tourism, hence why the Merlion had to come down. So it's moving fast.
It'd be interesting, really interesting to see what they do with that old port, the old port area by CBD. I mean, it's such a amazing piece of real estate, obviously. So we'll see what they do with that. Okay, so you two, you're not a big fan. I'm a massive fan.
Of course you are. You're American.
I've seen them a number of times in concert. I've been backstage. I met them in Los Angeles in the 1980s in a bar in West Hollywood and had a drink with the entire band and their manager.
Don't just brush that aside. What happened? What's the story?
Well, I had just graduated. I went to University of Southern California, and I had a friend of mine came out to visit from Chicago, my hometown, and we were just having a drink at this place called Barney's Beanery, which is an old dive bar, pool tables and stuff in West Hollywood. And we were playing a little pool, and in walks the entire band. And they were just down the street doing some editing on the Joshua Tree album, which is, this is their tour.
Their anniversary.
Some post-edit stuff there at the time that the album
so
was
So they were big, but they weren't quite monster big yet. They were on the way.
They had four or five albums by then.
Okay.
They were kind of on the alt-rock
yep.
kind of circle. They weren't in the, you know, in the top, in the pop sort of, you know, everyday radio stations. But they, I mean, a lot of people knew them. And my friend Nancy was absolutely fearless. She said, let's go over and talk to the band. I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, okay, yeah, why not? So we go over, and of course, it's easier when you go up to a group of male musicians when you have a really smart, beautiful woman in your presence who's wearing one of those red Robert Palmer girl dress sweater dresses.
Wow, yeah, I remember well.
Remember that video?
Addicted to Love.
Addicted to Love. You remember that? She was rocking one of those. So she walks up and she's like, hey, just wanted to say hi. And they're like, why don't you join us for a drink? And then, of course, they saw me and they're like, eh, okay, bring him too. But we had a couple of drinks with them, and they were in a corner booth, around corner booth. And they just couldn't have been nicer. Wow. All of them, including their manager was there and the whole band. They just had a long day in the studio doing some brush up stuff. And so, you know, maybe 15, maybe a half hour or so.
On what became Joshua Tree.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is extraordinary.
So I love the band.
Yeah.
And I was backstage in Tokyo in the 90s and the Zooropa tour.
Was that a media thing?
Yeah, and I was covering them for media when I was in Tokyo.
Did you speak to them then?
I didn't speak to them, but I was actually in the green room where they were. I just missed them. I walked in as they were walking out, and I didn't actually talk to them. But.
Oh, you really are a serious fan.
I love them, yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny one because you two are, without a shadow of a doubt, if not the biggest band, one of the top two or three in Singapore's, you know, pop culture history. There's no doubt about that. America too, certainly in the last 30, 40 years. But you know the British, Glenn. The British are a funny bunch. They have what the Australians call tall poppy syndrome, where they have this thing where when their own go overseas and become bigger than their own country,
yeah,
they almost feel the need to chop them
down.
Yeah, and it's not a very pleasant trait of the British, I have to be honest. If you look at the great British bands that really became rock gods, Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd, U2.
The Beatles.
Well, that one as well. Beatles are exception but those three I mentioned, yeah. The big, what they see is excessive rock, big rock, long hair rock, leather trousers rock, if you like. Mm. The British have a funny attitude to that. They don't like it very much. They're very much 3 minutes, three chords, the Clash, the Jam, get in, Sex Pistols, get in, get out.
Yeah.
The U2, not me, this is generally for British, I go to that borderline of excessive, slightly pretentious. This is the British view of U2. And that's why Coldplay is another one. We just played Coldplay.
Yeah, yeah.
A real love-hate relationship with Coldplay in the UK. America?
Huge, love them. Yeah.
Absolutely huge. Yeah. Britain, very different. I don't dislike U2. I think they've got some great songs. I think Joshua Tree was their high point.
Yeah.
Very funny. But you see, the thing about it's Bono. That's what it is. It's Bono. he does that thing, and the British have a very dry sense of humour. The famous thing that he did at the gigs where he said, you know, every time I click my fingers, an African baby dies. Mm. So they all shouted, stop clicking your fingers then.
That's dark. That's dark humor.
That's British, you know. So, you know, he means well and he does these wonderful things with Africa, but he just seems to rub the Brits up the wrong way a little bit.
Well, I will say, though, you know, they're a band, in my opinion, you know, many aging rock bands become a parody of themselves.
Very Spinal Tap.
Very Spinal Tap. And I feel, of course, I'm a fan, but I feel like they have not. I feel like they've, you know, they've been able to grow and do different things. Now, of course, we're certainly expecting the big hits to be played tonight and probably maybe not a whole lot of new stuff because it's that kind of tour. But I feel like they've, you know, they've tried to keep current. And, of course, obviously they're big proponents of world events and world doing good in the world and that sort of thing. And we're taking the kids as well. So four of us are going. And I feel like, you know, someday my kids will look back and say, yeah, we saw you too, you know, in a proper stadium in a big rock concert. And hopefully they'll remember that. But our tickets are separated.
Ah.
We bought them at two different times. And so one section we're in the 100s and the other section's the 400s. So.
Right.
Do you think my wife would mind going up to the 400s with my daughter?
And how long do you have to pay off the bank loan that you've got to pay for these tickets?
$250 a pop. I know. $1,000 for four tickets. And let me tell you, that hurts a lot.
But they put on a show, and it's one of those things you can say, you've seen U2. You know, they're not getting any younger. And look, all jokes aside, I will say this about The Edge is one of the great rock guitarists of the last 40 years, without a shadow of a doubt. To me, he is the real pioneering musician in that group. You'll laugh, but a few years ago, about 10 years ago, I had a media band where I was a tambourine player. That was the extent of my talent.
No cowbell for you?
No, I wasn't good enough for the cowbell. I couldn't keep time. But that was when I begrudgingly liked you two more, because we had a guy who's now an editor at the new paper, Leonard Thomas. He was our Barry White type rock, soul singer. Yeah. We had a Malay lead guitarist. We had an old Chinese drummer. We had literally, we had every race. We had a Eurasian bass guitarist.
And the tall East Ender.
And the tall East
triangle.
Ender. On the triangle. Right? I'm not kidding. But, of course, naturally, they all want to do U2. And,
of course.
So, when the streets have no name, I still haven't found one.
Is there a triangle part on the streets have no name?
Yeah, I did it at the beginning. Ding, ding, ding.
Just to get everyone's attention.
Ding, ding, ding. But I'll tell you what I did. It's a beautiful day. Ding, ding. But I will say, right? You will laugh. I tell you what I did. This is the point I was going to make, that I was genuinely impressed at how they've reinvented themselves, you two, right? Mm. Because how a band in what would have been their late 40s did a song like Vertigo, which sounds like a young teenage garage band.
Yeah.
It really does. It's really fast. I should do the uno, dos, tres, catorce. That was my whole thing for the song. I would go uno, dos, tres, catorce, and then I'd get back on the tambourine. That was the extent of my talent.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.